Okay, let's put our hands together and just get ready. So good to be together. And we really want everyone just to feel the love of God, and that doesn't just happen mystically. The love of God flows through you to the people around you. We're here to do three things in this church. We're here to love God passionately, to connect with our Creator. We're here to love the people around us that God brings into our lives. And we're here to love this gift of life that God has given to us. We're continuing in a series of messages called Out of the Valley. In a special time of prayer, we felt the Lord giving to us this series as pastors. And it's based on the fundamental truth that God wants to visit your valley. God wants to take dryness. Last week we talked about Ezekiel 37, which is a dry valley. It's called the Valley of Dry Bones. And into that valley, God brings the miracle of life. And it exhibits the heart of God that He doesn't want to leave you in the valley. He doesn't want to leave you in brokenness. He doesn't want to leave you all dried out. He wants to breathe His breath of life in a new way into your individual life, into our church family life. And we really feel the Spirit of God desires to visit this region. So we want to pray that way, we want to believe that way, and we want to be in faith together. Could just somebody risk an amen on that? Just we want to be together on that. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad to see last weekend how people opened their hearts in a beautiful way to the ministry, to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to continue to do that. I want to talk today about something very important, and it's the fact that when you find yourself in a valley, not if, when, we love the mountaintop experiences, we love the peak experiences, but valleys are part of life. Every single person needs to know that, because there are some lessons that you learn in the valley that God wants you to learn. But here's the important truth I want you to know, that when you are in the valley, God has not deserted you. You are not alone. He is the God of the mountaintops. And know this, He is the God of the valleys. So many people, when they go through the tough times, the enemy says you're all alone, you're isolated. In fact, this is not a new thought. Thousands of years ago, the Syrians said, hey, we understand God's people, but they serve a God who's a God of the mountaintops. And so we're going to attack them in the valleys, because their God is not the God of the valleys. So in 1 Kings, God says, no, hold on. I want you to know, I am God of the peak experiences, I'm God of the mountaintop, but hold on, I am also God of the valleys. It's there in your study guide. Look at what the Lord says, and if you're going through the valley, this is just good news for you. The Lord says to these Syrians, the Lord is the God, the Syrians have said, hey, he's the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. God says, I'm going to disprove that. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you an incredible victory in the midst of the valley. Therefore, I'm going to give you this great multitude who says, I'm not in the valleys. I'm going to give them to you in this valley so that you will know, well, that you'll know that I'm the Lord, not just of the mountaintops. I'm also the Lord of the valleys. So we're going to just look at some valleys in the scriptures. And you may be in one of these valleys today. And if you are, you're not alone. The Lord is walking with you. First thing we want to talk about, if you are in the valley of opposition, if things, people, circumstances seem that they have conspired against you, I want to bring you into the Valley of Elah. Valley of Elah is found in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, and God's people are facing opposition. The Philistines, classic enemies in the Old Testament. The Philistines are on one mountaintop. You can read that. God's people are on the other mountaintop. And every day, the champion of the Philistines, a giant of a man, walks into the valley. His name was Goliath. He walks into the valley, and in that valley says, I challenge you, mama's boys. You weak-kneed weenies. Just send somebody down here. Send somebody to fight me, and here's what will happen. The winner of the contest, that will be the army that wins. We won't have to shed all these lives. Just send me one person, just one person that you think can take me. And they looked at this massive giant. He's over 9 feet tall, and they hid in their tents. And they peeked out every once in a while. And in their tents, they could hear his bellowing voice. Using what the enemy does when you're in the valley of opposition, and he uses intimidation. I'm tall, you're small. You'll never overcome the opposition. You'll never overcome the people that are whispering about you behind your back. You'll never overcome the financial situation that you found yourself in. You'll never overcome because it's too big. The enemy says constantly to your soul, you can't do it. And if you're feeling that way, I can't, I can't, I can't, it's because you've been listening to the wrong source. A little guy named David, you know, the shepherd wanders up and he looks down into the valley and he hears this man and said, who's going out to fight that guy? And they'll go, not me, not me, not me. He's just too big for us. I can't do it. 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 And even David said, I can't do it either. But God can. There's the shift. Because God's not just with us when we're up here on the mountaintops. When I walk into that valley of opposition and I face that giant, I'm not going alone. I'm going with God. And if you face opposition and you understand that when you walk into that room, when you walk into that meeting, when you walk into that business place, when you understand, I'm not going by myself, I'm going with God. Just help me a little bit. Just tell your neighbor, I'm going with God. Just tell him right now, I'm going with God. Just tell him right now, I'm going. I'm going this week. This week, I'm going with God because I can't. But we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And David walked into that meeting in the valley of opposition, the valley of Elah. And he says, hey, I'm coming in the name and in the strength of God because my God is the God of the valleys. And I don't care how big you look, my God is bigger than you are. I don't care how intimidating you are. And you may look at your life and go, but I don't have the resources to overcome the opposition. I'm going to promise you, you have exactly what you need. What did David have? A sling and a rock, not the greatest of assets, against a 9-foot fully armored giant. They tried to put Saul's armor on David, but know this, when you face opposition, don't try to be someone else, don't pretend to be someone else, be yourself and let God put his super on your natural. Whatever you got, limited resources, a rock and a sling. It's all he had, but that's all it took. Because when God puts his super on your natural, even when you're in the deepest, darkest valley of opposition, you will be more than a conqueror. You'll say with Paul these incredible words that we find in the book of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now we should say this verse together. Let's say it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, one more time. If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, tell it to your neighbor right now. Just encourage him. If God is for us, who can be against us? So when you face opposition, don't look at the height of the giant. Look at the size of your God. And put your faith in God. That's the valley of Elah. Let me bring you into a valley that has an unknown outcome. Let me bring you into the valley of darkness. The valley of darkness is very famously found in a passage of scripture. You may know one of the most beloved psalms of all time is Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And in that psalm, it talks about a valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, or the Valley of Deep Darkness. And there is a valley in the Holy Land that is so narrow and mostly spends its day in shadow unless the sun is exactly above. It just is dark all the time. And when things are dark and you can't see anything, you tend to see things. I'm going to say that again. I mean, when it's dark. See what the psalmist says. Even in the darkest valley, I'm going to fear no evil. Why is he going to fear no evil? Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This summer, we were in Pennsylvania, where I take Darla every summer to visit her family. And we toured the Crystal Cave of Pennsylvania. Have you ever been on a cave tour where they take you right? How many people have been on a cave tour? Any cave tour worth its salt, somewhere in the tour, they're going to turn the lights off. Right? If you've been on a cave tour and they haven't turned off the lights, go back and ask for your money back. You got ripped off. And sure enough, midway through the tour, they said, get ready now, because you're going to go into utter darkness. There's no source of light. We're going to turn the lights off. No cell phones, no flashlights. Everybody silence everything. Here we go. And they plunge you into absolute darkness. And when you can't see anything, you tend to see things. You know that. Those of you that have had a fear of darkness, I see something. When you were a little kid, the darkness under your bed contained the most frightening of creatures. They lived under there. Because when you can't see the outcome, you tend to fill in the blanks. And if you're filled with fear, if you feel that you're alone, you start to worry. You start to fill in the blanks with every negative thought you can think of. You don't know what this week holds. You don't know what is going to happen in the next 7 days. You're in a spot that is dark and you don't know the outcome, and fear tries to grip your soul. But into that place, the psalmist says, I'm not going to be afraid because I know you are with me. Jesus said in a scripture we're studying in our Wednesday worship study of the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, he just gives us these incredible words, and I want to share them with you. He just says, don't worry about your life, because worry changes nothing. Nobody changed anything by worry. In fact, I said on Wednesday, and I'm going to say it again, that faith puts your trust in God. Worry puts your trust in yourself. Faith, that's what the psalmist had in Psalm 23. He had faith that God is with him. I'm not going to be afraid, because even though I can't see in this dark, dark valley, even though I can't see, I have an assurance that you are with me. I don't know anyone else, anything else, but I know this. You are with me. And when God's with you, everything is going to be okay. Oh, I just wish you would know that. When you know in your darkest valley that God is with you, everything is going to be okay. When the lights go off, when you're in the dark valley, you haven't lost anything. Now, when we go through dark valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death, we feel a sense of loss. We've lost something. When you're in the cave and they turn off the lights, if you can't reach out and touch your friend, you may feel like you lost him. Because the lights are off. It's dark. I've lost something. And you start to feel anxiety and worry and fear. I've lost something. Maybe that's why the psalmist said, weeping endures at night, but when the sun comes up, joy comes in the morning. Because you go, oh, you're still here. You haven't lost anything. Even in the deepest, darkest valley of the shadow of death, you're not at a loss. You don't need to be filled with fear. Why? Because God is with you. Put your hand on your heart and just say, God is with me. Go ahead. God is with me. God is with me. Someone here is in the deep, dark valley. You don't know how this week is going to turn out. And the enemy comes and says, you're all alone. And the scripture and the Spirit of God comes and says, oh, no, you're not alone. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So there's the valley of darkness, the valley of unknown outcome. What about this valley? What about the valley of weeping? Have you ever been there? The valley of weeping. Barak. Have you ever cried so hard that you can't cry anymore? Have you ever cried your tear ducts dry? Well, the psalmist talks about a valley called the Valley of Barak, and it's a valley of weeping. It's found in 84 of Psalms as they pass through the Valley of Barak. The Valley of Barak was a dry, arid, desert place. It was a hardship to pass through this valley. It was one of the entry roads into Jerusalem. So as the pilgrims would come towards Jerusalem, they went through this very difficult place, hard place, like the dry valley of Ezekiel's vision. It was dry, it was arid, it was hard. And they had trees in this place that leaked out an oil, and the oil looked like a teardrop. So as you walked along under personal hardship, you even saw the trees crying. You know it's bad when the trees cry. In the Valley of Barak, it's just you were surrounded by tears. You felt their tears. The trees were crying, and you're walking in this very, very difficult place. But into that very dry, arid place, here's what the psalmist says. You will make it a place of springs. What does that mean? God wants to visit you in that middle, weeping, dry place. The autumn rains will cover it with pools. I want to visit you when you cry so hard that your insides hurt. That's a deep crying. When you grieve so hard and the enemy comes and says you're all alone in this valley of weeping, it's got so hard that God has forgotten you, I'm here just to remind you, yeah, he's the God of the mountaintops, that's wonderful, but when you weep, you have a God who understands weeping. In fact, if you've been in the valley of weeping lately, I want to remind you of the shortest verse in all the Bible. It has only two words. Jesus wept. Some of you know that one. Everyone, Jesus wept. There, you memorized a verse. Good for you. Jesus understands weeping. He understands that it's part of, and when you weep, when you're in that valley of grief, God has not deserted you. In fact, he wants to visit you in that valley of weeping. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to rain his presence upon you. He would like to visit you, sir, before you leave this place. He'd like to do a miracle in your heart, ma'am, before you leave this place. He would like to visit you in the valley of weeping because God never leaves you in the valley. You pass through, you learn, but God never leaves you there. He's always bringing people through. Say through. It's through the valley of the shadow of death. It's through the valley of Baca. It's through the valley of the unknown. You don't get just don't get stuck in the valley. Take the hand of God and keep moving forward. As the scripture says, you can weep and sow in tears, but God isn't going to leave you in that valley of tears. You will come out and you will reap with incredible joy. When Jesus faced the tears of the cross, the passion of the cross, the Bible says he had joy that was set before him, that he would gather you into his family. And it says for the joy that was set before him, he endured the tears of the cross. You'll walk through this valley, but don't get stuck there because you're coming out on the other side. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory. Now, how does that happen? This is probably the most important valley we're going to talk about. because it really is the key to getting through these other valleys. And there's many valleys in scriptures. I've just taken a few of them. I want to bring you, though, into the valley of blessing. It's an unusual story found in 2 Chronicles 20. It's called the Valley of Barakah. The Valley of Barakah is found in 2 Chronicles 20, and they assembled on the fourth day in the Valley of Barakah. And if you're taking some notes, just note that the word Barakah means blessing. The word blessing is 68 times in the Old Testament. This is one of them. The first one is in the book of Genesis, when God says to Abraham, if you follow me, I will bless you. I will Barakah you. Well, here's a valley that's called the valley. Now, it always wasn't called the Valley of Blessing. It was a valley of, well, if you look at the first verse of the chapter, it's not just one army comes against God's people. It's like three armies and some more. Just the Amorites are there, the Weunites. I don't even know who they are, but they join in, the Weunites. They're there. They show up for this battle. And God's people are vastly outnumbered. And they're going to meet in this valley. And there is no way to win victory. There is no way to move from where they are to the blessing they need. There is no way. So what do? They call a prayer meeting, which when you don't know what to do is a great thing to do, to lift your heart to heaven and say, God, I need a God-sized idea. I need a spiritual strength that only you can give me. And their godly king, Jehoshaphat, calls a prayer meeting. Everybody comes. Because when you're under opposition, it pulls you together. There were a lot of people praying this week that hardly ever pray. Why? Because Matthew was coming. Thankfully, Mark, Luke, and John didn't come. I just saw that somewhere. Sorry. Not one of my best ones. Okay. I just thought I would try it out on you. I won't try it at 11 o'clock. Just for you guys, that one was just for you. Look at verse 4. The king, Jehoshaphat, called the people of Judah to come together and to seek help from the Lord. So they came from every town. Every town showed up for this prayer meeting. And it's a beautiful prayer. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's beautiful. The king prays a beautiful prayer. It's recorded in this chapter. And after the king prays the prayer, down in verse 14, a prophet begins to prophesy. He begins to express God's heart for them. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel. And here's what God said to these people. And here's what God would say to you. If you are in a valley that doesn't look like a valley of blessing, it looks like a valley of darkness. It looks like a valley of weeping. It looks like a valley where just everything is not going to turn out just quite the way you expected. It looks like a valley of opposition. Here's what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Good advice right there. Because you're not alone. You're not alone. Do not be afraid. Don't get discouraged because of this vast army. Look at these words. For the battle is not yours, it's God's. Oh, that's so good. Friend, the battle you're in isn't yours. It belongs to God. You're in a valley. It's not your valley. It's his valley. Why? Because he's God of the valleys. The battle isn't yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. And they thought, wow. If we've got God on our side. Now, here's what happened. They were vastly outnumbered, but once they got this word that said God was with them in the valley, they got real bold. They got spiritually bold. And they said, we're not going to just stay hunkered down here. We're actually going to take the battle to the enemy. Even though they were vastly outnumbered, they said, let's charge. You know you're getting bold when you start stop playing defense in your life and you move to offense, you've all of a sudden got some spiritual boldness in you. And somebody here needs to shift from defense to offense. Somebody here needs to say, I'm not sitting down anymore. It's time for me to take it to the enemy. Somebody here says, this valley is going to become a valley of blessing. So here was their game plan, one of the most unusual game plans in military history. You won't find this in the Pentagon. There's no battle plan in history like this battle plan. Verse 21, after they consulted the people, the king Jehoshaphat appointed singers. He appointed singers. Like, I love Mark. Maybe it's a good idea. If we're going to battle, let's put Mark out front. Let's get all the worship team out there. You guys go first. This is our great plan for success against a not just one army, three armies. There's three of them, so let's send the singers. They don't have spears, knives. They've got flutes and some harps. Let's send the singers out. And let's sing praise to the Lord. And let's praise him for his holy splendor. And it even has what they praise the Lord with here. And they sang a little song that says, give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. So you can just imagine these armies are arrayed. They're ready for a great victory. And all of a sudden, their scouts start saying, the army of God's people are marching on us. How could they be marching on us? There's so few of them. Well, they're coming to us. And they've got some people. The guy leading is very fashionable. He's got a drummer with him. Maybe that drummer is trained in the jiu-jitsu of drumsticks. We don't know. They got some guitar players. And they're singing. What are they singing? What are they saying? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Maybe they were giving thanks for all the victories he'd given in the past. God has seen you through valleys in the past. He's going to see you through this one. You can give thanks for the victory before it ever comes. Hallelujah. He just goes, let's give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, and his love endures forever. His love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. What are they saying? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. Somebody needs to sing that song. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, as Psalm 107 says. For he is good, for his mercy, his love endures forever. Oh, let's just say it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His love endures forever. That spirit of gratitude, that spirit of praise turns the valley of defeat into the valley of victory. That phrase, that prayer turns the valley of brokenness into the valley of blessing. That phrase turns unusual circumstances of opposition and darkness and pain and weeping into the valley of joy, because no matter how dark it is, God is with you. You can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And with that in mind, we stand to our feet and we close our eyes and we open our heart, knowing that there are people here today who are in valleys that are deep and dark and even painful, and you've come to God's house, but the enemy has been whispering to you, the enemy's been saying, you're all alone. Oh, God's with you when things are going well. God's with you on the mountaintop. God's with you in that peak experience. But now that things are tough, and you've come to God's house today, and the Spirit of the Lord is just saying to us, no. God is with you in your valley. So everyone is praying. Everyone's eyes are closed. I'm just going to survey what the Spirit is doing here. You say, Scott, I'm fighting a battle. I'm fighting a battle today. This season, I've been in a valley. I'm in that valley. And I need to just know that God is with me. I want you to throw your hand up high for me to see it all over the room. Put it up high. Put it up high. That's it. God knows. God knows what every hand represents. You're reaching forward by faith. Reach out by faith. Reach out by faith. And let God bring His super on your natural. Reach out by faith. God is bringing us out of the valleys. This is what our whole series is about. God is bringing us out of the valleys. And He wants to visit you today in a most special and precious way. So we want to receive, Lord. We want to receive what You are saying. We want to receive what You are doing, Lord. Here, these precious people have reached out their hands. Lord, You know every life circumstance that's represented. And You would say, listen, my sister, you're not alone. He is the God of the valleys. My dear brother, you're not alone. He is the God of the valleys. He's the God who walks with you in the deepest, darkest moments of life. He's here to encourage you. And so we receive His encouragement and we receive His Spirit and we receive His grace as we pray together. And I'm going to invite you to pray. Would you say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. Because I need Your Spirit. I need Your grace. I need Your love. I need Your mercy. I repent of my sins. And I receive Your presence. I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, as my strength, as my defender, as my wisdom. Lead and guide me, Lord, through this valley. Strengthen me by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Yeah. In Jesus' mighty name. Look this way just for a moment, because our prayer team is here to pray and to minister. You're bold enough to put your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. Would you be bold enough to let somebody pray for you today? Would you be bold enough to let the Spirit do what the Spirit does? That's to give you a song in the midst of the valley. He's here to do that. So the worship team is going to start singing. And I invite you to come and let the prayer team pray with you. I invite you to come for communion. The tables will be open. And as you come to the tables, just be thanking God that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. May your heart be on Jesus as you come to communion. If you've been a guest that's been here, we love the fact that you've come to worship with us. We invite you just to receive God's grace today. As our worship team leads us, I pray this prayer. After this, there's no other benediction. I'm going to open it for prayer. You're welcome to come. Lord, may You do Your work in this room. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ meet Your sons and Your daughters in the valley, in the valley. Do a miracle in this room, we pray, in the strong, strong name of Jesus. And all of God's children say together, amen. Those who are going to join us at 10:30, I'll see you there. Yeah, sure, we can give thanks to the Lord. Those who are going to join us at 10:30, I'll see you there. Those who are coming for prayer, why don't you just come right now? Why don't you come for prayer right now? Why don't you come for communion right now? Let's fill this room with the praises of God.